Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the bush. And it's a pretty nice day today. I think maybe spring has sprung. Let me start with the question today. How many of us say that we hear from Jesus? Let me put that in just a different way. How many of us know absolutely for certain that we hear from Jesus? Hear him speaking in our lives. You see, there are far too many people today who say, God told me this, or God told me that, or God told me to tell you. As far as I'm concerned, I put very little confidence in somebody's words who say that. Well, that's just my approach. But today we're going to take a look at somebody who did hear from Jesus in a very quiet, soft way. But first, let's bring the story up to this event. But let's pray first. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the beautiful day. Lord, thank you for this magnificent story that we're going to look at. And Lord, teach us something. There's something that's here that very few people talk about. Help us to see it and learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen. In John 12, the chapter begins with a meal going on, and you have Lazarus, the man that Jesus raised from the dead, and Jesus there. And this is quite a gathering for these two men to be there. If you recall in last chapter, Lazarus, a close friend of Jesus, died. Jesus came to Bethany, Lazarus' hometown, raised him from the dead. And as you might guess, that caused quite a stir. When the Pharisees heard about it, they gathered the Sanhedrin, or all the Pharisees and the Sadducees, together, and they determined that they were going to kill Jesus. John chapter 11, verse number 53. So from that day on, they plotted to kill him. Well, Jesus responded to their threat by staying out of public view. He and his disciples went to a small village called Ephraim that was next to the wilderness. If the Jews found him, he could escape off into the wilderness. Now, was he afraid of the Jews? No, absolutely not. But he wanted them to take him at the appropriate time. And he knew what that time was. So then the Passover was getting closer, and all the Jews began working their way back to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And they started going through their ritualistic cleansing to where they would be prepared for that big day. Eventually, Jesus and his disciples returned to Bethany. And this is, again, where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And Mark tells us that they were meeting, they were having this meal in the house of Simon the leper. Let's read John chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, the one Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha, who was serving, Lazarus was the one that was one of those that was reclining at the table with him. Can you imagine this scene? Jesus Christ was there. He is a wanted man. And then you have Lazarus, a man just recently raised from the dead. How would you like to have been at that table? I'll tell you what, I would be sitting there just amazed, being with Jesus and Lazarus, a man who was recently dead. Wouldn't you like to have been there? Well, through Scripture, we can get pretty close. So we have Jesus, Lazarus, and Martha. Well, where's Mary? Verse number 3. Then Mary took a pound of perfume, pure and expensive nard, and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, so that the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. What just happened here? Well, it might be hard to understand, but what we're looking at is no less a very tender, passionate moment. And this passion is the pouring out of Mary's love and devotion to Jesus. Some said, what a waste. And others may have tears in their eyes as they look at this very touching scene. As what Mary poured out on Jesus' feet is very, very expensive stuff. The value of this would have been about a year's wages. And Mary poured it out on Jesus' feet. And the fragrance filled the room. Just think about it. So you see, no one could have missed Mary coming into the room. No one could have missed Mary bowing before Jesus and wiping his feet with her hair. No one could have missed the absolute sacrifice and devotion that Mary just poured out on Jesus. You see, this could have been her entire life savings. This could have been her total security in this little jar. Was she totally devoted to Jesus? Yes, she was. Now let's ask the question, are we? Am I that totally devoted to Jesus? Are you? Are you that devoted to Jesus? But not everyone was happy with this very touching scene that we just saw. Look at verses 4 through 6. Then one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was about to betray him, keep that in mind, he said, why wasn't this perfume sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? John includes, he didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of the money bag and would steal part of it, of what was put into it. May I add, that scoundrel. But notice, Mary didn't respond to her critic at all. She chose to pour out her life savings, her security, her devotion on the feet of Jesus, and she could care less what other people thought. That's pure devotion. And in my opinion, that is a real disciple. I didn't say apostle. I said real disciple. Are you? Though Mary didn't respond, Jesus, her Lord and Savior, did defend her. Don't forget that. Jesus will defend us. He will defend his disciples. He will defend those who are devoted to us. As one song recently heard says, God will fight for us. And I believe that. If you don't believe it, look through the whole New Testament. God will fight for us. Don't forget that. So listen to what Jesus said to Judas. Verses number 7 through 8, Jesus answered, leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. Now watch. Let me explain. Jesus didn't say it's wrong to feed the poor. He simply said, they're always going to be around, but I'm not going to be here much longer. And Mary knew that, and she responded appropriately. Two things here. First, Judas, how can a man, a scoundrel like him, be a disciple of Jesus? He walked with Jesus for 3 years. He saw his miracles. He heard his teaching. He saw the changed lives. He even saw Jesus raise someone from the dead. What's going on with Judas? Well, he's a phony, a true hypocrite. Folks, unfortunately, there's a lot of Judases around today. You see, that's a little bit worrying. So let's look at Mary, a quiet and completely devoted woman. Here's a question. How did she know that Jesus was going to soon die? You see, the disciples still hadn't got that one yet. Jesus had dropped hints and they had missed it, but Mary knew. How did she know? Well, let's go to something that we've looked at before, back in John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, verses number 31 and 32, then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, you really are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If we take a close look at Mary, the three times that she appeared in Scripture, we'll see that she's a true disciple. Now, keep in mind, this is Mary and Bethany, not Mary Magdalene. First time that Mary shows up, Martha is running around the house trying to prepare a meal for Jesus and his disciples. And she gets upset at Mary because Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to every word he said. Jesus defends Mary for what she's doing. What's Mary doing? She's listening to every word. She's pondering what Jesus says. She's totally devoted to Jesus. Next, we see Mary running to Jesus, and she falls at his feet. Lazarus is dead. And Mary does say the same words as Martha, "If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And she begins to cry. And Jesus is so touched by her grief that he himself wept or cried. Jesus wept. And now the third time, we see Mary pouring out what could be her absolute life savings, her security, on the feet of Jesus to anoint his body for burial. Here's a question again. How did she know? The disciples still don't know. I think it was Mary's focus to prioritize every word that Jesus said. She would meditate on those words. And every time she could, she got around Jesus. She listened to him. She hung on every single word. And it was focused time on Jesus and Jesus alone. She heard him teach. She pondered what he said. And then, and only then, she knew the truth of what was going to happen to Jesus. Remember, if you continue in my word, you really are my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I think the truths of Jesus come clear to those who hear his words and meditate focused attention on what he says. According to that, these people are true disciples, and I believe Mary was. Are you? Ask yourself that question. Are you? Are you a true disciple? And I have to ask myself, am I? Next week, we will follow Jesus all the way to Jerusalem. And for good or bad, the scene gets really chaotic. But for this week, I want us to focus on what we saw. Are we a disciple such as Judas? And if you are, I hope not. But if you are, you've just been exposed. You know it. I think you need to fall on your knees before Jesus and invite him to save you and forgive you. Or other than Judas, are we a disciple like Mary? Are we like Mary? Do we listen to Jesus? Do we ponder what Jesus says? Do we focus on Jesus? Listen, in the words of an old hymn, which we're going to listen to, does the very word Jesus thrill your soul? That is a real disciple. That's a real disciple. And real disciples hear from Jesus. So do you hear from Jesus? Well, that's how to do it right there. So let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this little insight in the life of Mary. She was a true disciple. She listened to you. She pondered what you said. She was totally devoted to you. And God revealed to her the truth that you were soon going to die. Father, help us to be the same as Mary. In Jesus' name, amen.